Welcome to the Mom Forum. I am your host, Alicia Wilson Beach. I am birth mom of three, adoptive mom of one, and stepmom to four. Yes, you counted that right. That is eight kids. And over the years, I have been known to completely overshare my story of motherhood. And I started this podcast to be able to share the common and maybe not so common experiences of motherhood from women of all walks of life. So thank you for joining me for these intimate mom-to-mom conversations, following each of my guests' journey through motherhood. These stories are honest and vulnerable. There's a little bit of humor and a whole lot of relatability. And my hope is that you can see yourself in one of these stories and know that you are absolutely not alone in this crazy journey through motherhood. I am so happy to have you as a listener of the Mom Forum podcast. And if you would like to further support us, you can become a patron of ours. Just visit us at patreon.com/themomforum, and you can support us with a monthly subscription at the $3 level, $5, or $7. It's just a tiny monthly payment that will add up to a ton of support here for the work that we do at the Mom Forum. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and please share these episodes. And if you could take a moment, we would love to hear a review and your thoughts on the Mom Forum podcast. On today's episode, I am sitting down with my dear friend and also accountability partner, Rhonda Richard Smith. She is a married mom of two girls and also an award-winning psychotherapist and relationship expert. She has been featured in magazines like Oprah Magazine, Ebony Magazine, Glamour. She's all over the place. And in this episode, we talk a lot about how she is very intentional about building the relationships with her family as a whole, her individual relationships with her children, and her relationship with her husband, and also encouraging the relationship between her daughters. She gives so many good tips, such good advice, and also shares some of the things that she has struggled with along the way. So I hope you enjoy this episode and pick up a tip or two about communication and building those family relationships. Thank you, Rhonda, for sitting down with me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Like we don't see each other.
Right, all the time.
All the time.
It's official, but now it's official.
Yes. So I always ask my mamas who they are a mama to first.
I am a mom to two lovely daughters, Maya and Michaela. They're 12 and 9. That's it. Just those two.
And
no more.
No, that's it.
That's it.
I know you see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Oh, yes. We're counting down. My husband and I are counting down. Just the two. We're done. They're lovely, though. Love them.
They are sweet little girls. They're not so little anymore.
They're not.
And who were you prior to having kids? Because I know for some people, like having a child, they came a completely different person from who they were prior to having kids.
You know, to be honest, I feel like I'm pretty much the same person. I mean, I think I've definitely had some improvements along the way. I think becoming a mom has made me a better person. But I have a lot of girlfriends that I've known since, you know, kindergarten, middle school, a couple from college, and they're like, wow, even with you becoming a mom, you're still pretty much the same person. Now, granted, I had a transition period being a new mom, and when the kids were little, I definitely was kind of out of sorts and just trying to get my bearings. And so I couldn't tell you who I was right after I had the girl. But once I got my bearings and kind of got a schedule together and juggled everything as best I could, I feel like I've kind of rebounded and I'm back to my usual self.
And career-wise, were you working in the same field?
I was.
Children?
I was working in the same field. I actually got married while I was in graduate school at UCLA in the School of Social Welfare. And so we were married for a couple of years before we had kids. So I kind of started my career. I started in the medical social work field. So I was providing therapy for folks that were sick in the hospital or coping with new diagnosis. And so I was doing that for quite a while. And then I had Maya, my oldest.
And how old are your girls again?
12 and 9. Almost 13.
I'm like 10 and 7. I have the
actually in a couple weeks it's going to be 13 and 9. Oh, yeah. We're 2 weeks away.
Yeah. How is preteen years going for you?
It's going. We're there. We're in the midst of it. Middle school and, you know, coping with different things that are going on with friends and like other classmates. It's been interesting. But I think overall, I feel like she's dealt with it pretty well. We've done pretty well too. I have to pat ourselves on the back.
And would you, like, did you notice a shift in the way that she interacts with you? Because, Lord, the attitude that I get, I'm like, Lord, you and me, we gonna have some problems with my 13-year-old. But
I feel like there's definitely a shift. One of the things that I think has helped us for myself and for my husband is that we're really big on talking to the kids, and we're like, you can talk to us about anything. Now, granted, you know, sometimes they tell us things and we want to cringe and we want to die. we can't show them that we are cringing per se. But we have really good open communication with them just about like what things are going on at school. What are their peers talking about? Like, how are they feeling? So I think that's benefited us, especially moving into middle school, because I don't think all kids have the benefit of having parents that are open to that. So I feel like that's worked well. But, you know, middle school hormones kick in, things happen, you know, I think for kids, like their reaction to different things, it changes over time. So something that you did last year, they're going to have a completely different reaction to it this year. And it's like, well, what changed? But it's just like their body's changing and their minds are changing. And so, you know, we've been like riding the wave. I feel like riding the wave. Yeah. I feel like things are balancing out a little bit now. But it's been tough. It's been tough.
It is a tough transition. And would you say, because you said that you have built the communication, is you being a therapist, is that something that you actively, thoughtfully put in place or just is of nature for you?
Maybe it's a little bit of both, because I feel like being a therapist, you know, I see sometimes the repercussions when children don't have a voice or when they don't feel like they can communicate with their parents. And so from my perspective, it's even like a safety issue. Like if kids don't feel comfortable to speak up, if something's bothering them or, you know, they're worried about something or they're scared or they're afraid, they're going to confide in somebody eventually. So I would just prefer that it be either myself or my husband, you know, someone that we trust, someone that's a part of the family. Because, you know, when they're confiding in their peers, you know,
they're giving them nonsense information.
So even if they hear the nonsense, I want to hear that they're hearing the nonsense. Yeah. And then I want to kind of help them process it and, you know, figure out what their thoughts are on it and really make their own decisions. Because I feel like that's a skill that kids need to have. You're going to get a lot of information. Everybody gets information from the media, from peers all over the place. So you have to kind of be able to filter that information, process it for yourself. And while the girls are under our roof, I'd prefer that they process it with us whenever possible.
Yeah.
Ideally.
What would you say are some of the specific things that you do with your girls to give them that space? Like, do you have family meetings or talk with them at night? Like, what are some of the things you do to create that environment?
So I think what's worked for us, and our kids have busy schedules too, so they do sports. Mm-hmm. My husband travels a lot for work. I travel sometimes for work and can get really busy. So, you know, because they're at an age where everyone is kind of on their own time, like it can be tough to bring everybody together. But I'm really big on making sure that we're spending quality time together and not just like I'm driving you to soccer practice or now I'm driving you to Girl Scouts or now we're going here. But like really taking the time to stop. No TV, no phones, whatever else, whatever the distractions, and just really have time to check in with them and just see how things are going. And even as sisters, kind of creating a framework where they can come together and talk to each other about what's going on too. Because for my oldest, you know, there's some things that she's been through that my youngest will go through, and they won't always think to communicate that to each other.
Yeah.
And so even just kind of sitting them down for them to have, like I call it sister time. So I'm like, you guys need to have your sister time. And sometimes they're like, well, what are we going to talk? I'm like, whatever it is that you like, can you talk about? What's on your mind? Whatever's going on. So I think just kind of setting that up where we're always open to kind of talking and checking in beyond like, oh, hey, how are you doing? But like really sitting down and like, what's going on? Because there's always something going on with all of us. Yeah. There's always something you can talk about. So, you know, I've done my best just to kind of teach them about taking time. You don't always have to multitask. Just take the time to stop, really check in with yourself and see how you feel. And then, you know, confide in someone that you care about. So,
yeah, those building those skills are hard. And it is like the times where they're disarmed and you're not fussing or running that they'll talk to you more.
Like, and you'd be surprised like what they'll say, because sometimes they'll say things and I go like, wow, you know, in the back, I don't say it out loud, but I'm thinking like, I didn't see that coming, but that's great though. Like that's great. And I just think it's a skill that they can build and it'll take them through to adulthood when, you know, when you can really check in with yourself and you can really clearly communicate what you're thinking or what you're feeling, what you need help with. If you need support with something, like I feel like with kids, you know, oftentimes as parents, we assume whatever level of support they need. Oh, you need to do this. You need to do that. But your kid could be struggling with something and you have no idea. And it's like, if you had told me, we will gladly support you with, you know, whatever it is you're having a challenge with at school or with the peer, you know, anything. Yeah.
And that's hard.
It is.
There's just so many things. It's like when I hear of a teen child, you know, committing suicide or in depression, and the parents are like, we had no clue. And I used to be so judgy about that. Like, how can you have no clue? There's so many things going on outside of us that it's so easy to miss.
Yeah, and I think the key with that is also, again, making sure that as parents, we are not overreacting, because when we do that, it signals to our kids that we can't handle it.
Yeah.
So the more you put up the barrier and like, oh, I don't want to talk about sex, or like, ooh, I don't want to talk about mental health, or ooh, you know, if you have someone who is maybe struggling with their identity or different, that I don't want to, then it communicates to them like, okay, that's too much for you. So I'm not going to burden you with it. I'll just shoulder it myself.
Yeah.
So you won't know.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's things you're saying. Sometimes it's nonverbal cues. So it's not something you're saying, but if you're cringing or, you know, making a face, kids learn over time, like, you know what, my mom, my dad, they can't handle what's happening with me. They can't handle my feelings. So I'm just not even going to bother to share it with them.
Yeah. Or even brushing it off. I find myself sometimes with my kids, like, don't talk to me right now about that. And you haven't done this. And they're trying to say something in the moment. And it's like, looking back on some of those, I'm like, oh my God, I totally miss that.
And none of us are perfect. So, no. I mean, it's we are all imperfect people doing the best we can. I feel like, especially as parents, it's like that's all you can really do is the best you can do at any given moment.
Now, you're, I think, a lot like me in that we always seem like really calm. Everything's like, you know, whatever. Okay, there's drama. We'll figure it out. Yeah. Was there anything in motherhood that has been a struggle for you or an anxiety producer for you?
Well, you know, I am a Leo. Speaking of my horoscope, right? So I am a Leo, and so I am incredibly protective. Mm-hmm. I am incredibly protective of my family. I'm incredibly protective of my children. So I know that one thing that I really struggled with when I had my oldest, Maya, it was like having my heart outside of my body.
Yeah.
And that's something that I really had to get used to. And, you know, I barely wanted to leave the house at some point because I was just so consumed and worried about, you know, what if there's a draft? What if she catches a cold? You know, what if somebody touches her? I mean, she was such a gorgeous little girl and you know, people would always want to come up and touch her and talk to her. And I'm thinking, oh my God, the germs, like, get away. We don't know you. Like, I'm like rushing out of the grocery store. Don't speak to her. So, you know, as time has gone on, I feel like I've gotten a little better with that, but I can still be a bit of a worrier sometimes when it comes to just safety. And part of that might be an occupational hazard because as a therapist, yeah. I hear some of the worst of the worst. And I hear some of the worst of the worst when it comes to, you know, children being victimized or violated. And so, you know, my mind can start, you know, I can go down the rabbit hole very easily. So for myself, I've kind of had to manage that, keeping them safe, right? Keeping them informed, which I feel like I keep my girls maybe overly informed sometimes when it comes to different scenarios that can come up. I feel very passionate about they need to have the education, but just kind of balancing it with not being too overbearing and understanding that, you know, I want my kids to have freedom to, you know, make some of their own decisions within reason, and, you know, experience life like everybody else and not have to worry about every little thing. So I feel like that's been probably my greatest struggle is balancing that.
All balancing something.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, really? I appear calm because half the time inside I'm like, oh my God, what is happening here?
Right. Yeah.
I love that meme that is like, motherhood is mostly walking around all day going, what the
fuck? Yeah, pretty much. Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
And how long have you and your husband been married?
Ooh, we have been married, let's see, our anniversary is in July, so it will be 16 years that we've been married. Yeah, a long time.
I mean, these days you're lucky if you make it past 7 years.
Right.
I feel like people are so used to the quick and easy that they don't realize that the marriage is going to be ups and downs and ups and downs.
Absolutely. And yep.
What would you say has been a big struggle in your marriage or the hardest thing for the two of you to come together on?
I think that, and it's something that we've, thank goodness, I feel like we've overcome. But when we, as I mentioned, when we first got married, I was in graduate school. My husband went to USC for film school. And so, you know, we're early in our careers, we're building, and our schedules just did not match up.
Yeah.
So in the very beginning of our marriage, you know, I'm in grad school. He's, you know, kind of like hustling, working every day, trying to make things happen on his end. And so he had a schedule where he worked overnight shifts.
Mm.
And so, you know, I'm working kind of like regular hours during the day and we really weren't seeing each other. And so we had a period of a couple years where, you know, you know, you're newlyweds, you want to spend time with each other, but because of work constraints and other things, we weren't able to spend as much time as we wanted to together, which was a real strain, I feel like, in the beginning. And so we just really struggled with that. And then I think even with having the girls, again, with schedules, it just got to be incredibly stressful. My husband travels quite a bit. And so just kind of making sure that we were on the same page and, you know, one person might feel like they're really, you know, carrying the load a lot of the time. Like when I was home, I'm handling the drop-offs, the pickups, the meals, the little things at school, the projects, you know, kind of like anything that could come up. And, you know, when he comes home from traveling, of course, he's exhausted, but I'm exhausted, you're exhausted too, right? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of trying to figure out and juggle what that should look like. And it took us a while to get our rhythm. Like, I feel like it's not like we're balancing it perfectly per se, but I feel like we have a really good rhythm now. And our focus is really on making sure that we maximize the quality of the time that we spend together, you know? Yeah. So if he's traveling a couple weeks out of the month, well, I'm not going to necessarily get to see him every day. But when he is in town and when we do have time, we make sure that we make time for quality time without the children.
Yes.
As a family.
Necessary.
Yes. But we also make sure that we have time just for us to, as husband and wife, to spend quality time with each other. I feel like it's super, super important.
Yeah. Because it's so easy to get caught up in that everyday details. And then it's like, well, been dropping off the kids for 2 weeks straight and you've been out of town and now you want it. Well, you know, because we have the same with my husband traveling. And our biggest struggle has been the communication with the schedules. And especially now as I'm starting to pick up on the work that I'm doing, that is, it's a every day. And but that adjustment when you're first getting married and it's like, oh, you mean I have to tell you where I'm going? But I'm grown. Like, why do I need to check in with you? Like, getting over that hump of, no, you have to, like, really tell each other. And then the kids come along and it gets even worse. Yes. That you had the level the
competing
needed.
Schedules. And, I mean, it is a lot to try to juggle and manage.
It really
just the
is.
Schedules alone. It's rough. And I feel like that's that what's also worked for us is really being clear about what our priorities are individually, but also what our priorities are as a family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like just being really deliberate and specific about, you know, where do we want to be a year from now? Where do we want to be 5 years from now? And just kind of understanding that in order to get there, our behaviors have to link up with that. You know, if our behaviors are going in another direction, we have to address that and we have to hold each other accountable too.
Yeah. And you know what I'm realizing? Maybe as the kids get older, like my husband and I'll have those little conversations. You know, we'll be up late one night just chatting and you know, connecting in that way, or we go out and we have it. But I realize we're not including the children.
Mm-hmm.
In that conversation of what do they want and where do they want to be, and here's what mommy and daddy are doing. And I'm realizing that I need to, especially as they're getting older, bring them into the fold. Do you guys do that with your kids?
Oh, yes. They're very vocal about their goals, where they want to be. My oldest is like a big researcher. So she does lots of research so she can project, you know, 2 years from now, four wow. years from now, what she wants to be doing. She's probably better at that than I am, probably.
Yeah, I need to hire her.
Youngest is a little bit. My youngest is a dreamer, though, for sure, too. So, I mean, she has different goals that she sets and different ideas and things that she wants to explore. And so I definitely, we talk to them about that regularly because I also want to be sure that we are providing them with opportunities that kind of match up with that. So if they have an interest, especially for career, I feel like if they have an interest, why not expose them to that as early as possible to see if it's something that they might be interested in later on down the line, or maybe they decide they're completely not interested in that. But I feel like the earlier we can expose them to different things, the better. I feel like, you know, the way we were raised, it's kind of like you graduate, you kind of like, you guess what you want to do. You try, you hope it's a match. You know, but when you're late 20s, early 30s, you realize that you need to make a career pivot completely. It can be really challenging. So I feel like the earlier we can expose them to different ways of life, different people, travel, see the world. You know, we're in Los Angeles. The world is a lot larger than Los Angeles, and it's easy to get caught up with what's going on locally. But just exposing them to as much as we can, I feel like really helps with their worldview and is able to help them clarify like where they see themselves in it.
Yeah. Today's episode is brought to you by the Mom Self-Care Planner. As a mother, you take on a ton of roles. Mom, taxi driver, cook, housekeeper, activities coordinator, holiday planner, house manager, wife, lover, employee, caretaker, the list just goes on. And balancing all the roles that come along with motherhood can be overwhelming. And the next thing you know, there is no room on the to-do list for you. But mamas, we have got to prioritize our self-care or we become burned out, stressed out, and completely overwhelmed. But that is not easy when you are a mama. It takes a little bit of planning and a little bit of work. And the Mom Self-Care Planner is designed to walk you through creating a personal plan for the daily practice of your self-care to support you in your mental, spiritual, social, physical, and emotional health. This will help you better manage your stress levels, feel less overwhelmed, be more resilient when those kiddos are driving you nuts,
and leave you as a happier and healthier mom. So get your mom self-care planner today. Click on the link in our show notes. And as a listener, just type podcast into the discount code and you will get 10% off your purchase.
So they have very different personalities, which is usually the case. But before we have children, we're, you know, the idea of the mother we're going to be, and it's going to work perfectly with all of my perfect children.
Yes, yes.
And you have your kids and you're like, yeah, okay, that worked with this kid, but it didn't work with this kid.
Yeah, no.
How do you find yourself navigating between the two with your parenting? Like, do you feel like you have to parent them really differently? Or, I mean, of course, there's some basic standards.
Yeah, I mean, we have like some of the basic things are the same, but I know that, you know, especially if we're talking about consequences, my kids are completely different.
Yeah.
They're totally different. And I mean, even their styles, my oldest is one who is really competitive. She can be very hard on herself sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really mindful of that. And in terms of I don't really have to do or say much, to be honest, for my oldest, because she already holds herself to such a high standard. So if anything, I work with her on just juggling and, you know, kind of working on those perfection things that can creep up, especially as you get older. Nobody's perfect. You know, you do the best that you can. So a lot of the work that I'm doing with her is more tied to that. But when she's wrong, she knows she's wrong.
Yeah.
And she'll pretty much all but admit, like, I messed up. I didn't do what you told me to do. I'm wrong. And she's, like, in tears almost before I can even say much
of anything. That's one of those you're like,
Okay. There's really not much else for me to say. There's nothing else for me to do. My youngest is a little different. My youngest is, you know, she's definitely the baby of the family. She's very vocal. Very vocal about her opinions. Hmm. She's very, very outspoken. Maybe won't always necessarily see the fault in the way that she approaches different things. So we'll have to point that out to her. Sometimes she forgets. So we will have to remind her. And so, you know, I think the repercussions for her are we have to make them a little different. We have to kind of point out when she's doing things that aren't right and explain to her why and really get her buy-in to understand. I have to tell you, though, she would make an amazing attorney. I don't know what career path she's going to choose, but she can create the most interesting arguments about why she made a decision, even though we have told her repeatedly it's incorrect, it's inappropriate, never to do it again. She will be sure to create some counterpoints about why it is that she had that perspective and why we should reconsider. So,
Lord, yeah. Those are the punishments parts of parenting that you're just like, what have I gotten myself into?
And the skill is not a bad skill.
Yeah, it's a good skill.
But there's still going to be some repercussions for your actions. And
that's
so
all the skills that will make your children like great adults are the toughest ones to
yes.
parent.
Very tough to manage when they're kids. Yep, yep,
she's
yep.
Like, I can't with this right now.
Yep, yep.
I told you, I have birthed a grown man in a child's body with my 8-year-old. And I just am like, I don't even know how to parent this kid right now.
Oh, yeah. They have completely different personalities. But I mean, it's been fun to watch, to be honest. It's been fun to watch and just see how starkly different they are. I mean, they've been different since birth, literally from very young. They just had completely different personalities. And because of that, since there's just two of them, I think they also balance each other out very well too.
Mm-hmm.
I think my youngest sometimes helps my oldest to remember to have fun, not take everything so seriously. And my oldest is kind of able to reinforce some of the discipline and, you know, the importance of, you know, making the right decisions and why you have to, you know, be careful about what you do and why they're able to balance each other out really nicely too, which has kind of been cool to see.
And how do you find the time or focus in to get those step back moments? Because it's hard to sometimes step back and come off of the mom train to see, you know, oh, wow, look at who my kid is becoming. Because it's always like, oh, you didn't do this and your room is a mess and you need to do this and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But how do you remind yourself or relish in those moments where you can step back and see the big picture.
I think what works for me is in order to step back as a mom, I have to step back for myself first and kind of check in with myself and see what's going on. So I know if I'm not meditating on a regular basis, I'm going to be completely out of whack. Mm-hmm. I already know. So what I try to do as much as possible is start my day with some form of meditation, whether it's just a couple of minutes. You know, I try not to be a perfectionist about it because depending on the day, I may or may not have the time. But when I do my best to stop, meditate, take a second to check in with myself, how I'm feeling, and I check in with what my personal goals are overall. So not just as a mom, but just in general, what are the goals that I have for myself? Whenever I'm able to do that and I'm able to do that on a regular basis, it's easier for me to take a step back and look at the family and make sure that I'm checking with my husband, that I'm mm-hmm. checking in with the girls to see how they're doing. If I don't do that for myself, I can't do it for my family.
Yeah.
I've tried. It just doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
So I have to be able to check in and tune in with my own thoughts and feelings before I can really check in on everybody else. It's like what they say with the airplane, right? You put the mask on yourself before you worry about anybody else. It's basically the same concept. And since I've been able to do that, I feel like it's just made kind of like managing the household and the family so much easier. But I have to take the time to do it. No matter how busy it gets, no matter how many last minute projects, no matter what's going on with work, I have to stop and take the time. And I think we can get caught up in just the busyness of life, but I also kind of filter that through as well. You know, like, is this really a priority? It seems like it's a priority. It's being presented as it's a priority, but based on my own personal priorities, is this something that I really need to worry about right now? Or can it wait until tomorrow? Or next week?
Because I think moms especially get caught up in the overwhelm of all the things that we think we have to do, the school stuff, the PTO, the volunteering for the after school activities and this thing and that.
And the peer pressure. I mean, like, we don't talk about it much, but as a mom, you know, the whole, like, I have mom guilt, you know, it's the whole thing. Like, I never had mom guilt.
Mm-hmm.
But depending on who you're around, it can feel like, you never had mom guilt?
Yeah.
Well, what's wrong with you? Well, you're not on the PTA? Why aren't you on the PTA? No.
Yeah. The expectations that are set up. And like, where the hell do they come from? Like, I don't even know. Like, there are some moms that enjoy the PTA. I will never be that mom. Don't ask me to join your PTA.
I tried. Bless my heart. I tried in the very beginning. I think I gave it like 3 weeks.
Oh.
And I was like, this is not for me. I had to give it up.
Yeah. In preschool, I did 1 year of volunteering and ran like the school fair. And I was like, I will never do this again. I'm not that mom.
Yeah. It's not my strong suit. It's just not my strong suit.
Yeah.
You have to know what your strengths are and what they're not.
Yeah. Checking in with yourself and making sure that what you're doing rings true to what you need to do and want to do. And not, am I presenting a persona of what I think I'm supposed to do? And am I really taking care of myself?
Absolutely.
In all of this.
Yep.
And as a therapist, I know some of your self-care is forced upon you by your job.
Yes.
Because you have to. But as a mom, what are some of the things that you do outside of, you know, ensuring you have goals? Because I think that's one of the main things we have to do is have a personal life outside of our children.
Absolutely.
What are some of the things you do to ensure that you are in a good place and that you are taking care of yourself?
I think the biggest tool that I use that has really helped me be true to myself and just kind of just help me get through, you know, difficult days and challenging times is setting boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big boundaries person, and setting boundaries, I feel like, is for myself probably one of the strongest tools that I have with regard to self-care. It's like, and I have to set my boundaries. Like you mentioned, some of it is an occupational thing. I have to set boundaries, but in every area of my life, I've just had to get really really strict and particular about the boundaries that I set, who it is that I'm hanging out with, who it is that I'm talking with on the phone, who am I going to lunch with, who am I, you know, because you can easily kind of get sucked into lots of different situations. And it can lead you to neglect yourself, neglect mm-hmm. your family. And so I'm just, over the years, I've just become more and more aware of those scenarios and those people that, unfortunately, I can't always expose myself to on a regular basis because it's too draining.
Yeah.
And I'm not able to take care of myself or my family. But if I'm saying that I'm a priority and my family is a priority, well, then whatever that is has to be eliminated.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
It is hard.
It's hard.
It's hard. Because I think as new moms, you think you have to do all the things for everybody and make everybody happy. And eventually you hit overwhelm, resentment, and then you start going, oh, no, no, nope, I can't do that. Nope, don't ask me for that.
Yeah. And you have to know, like, you know, I only have so much power, right? So I only really have control over myself.
Mm-hmm.
My time is limited. My energy is in limited supply. It's not something that's infinite. Time yeah. is not infinite, neither is energy. So you know you have like a bank. You only have so much that you can draw from. And I just had to make a conscious decision that this bank is primarily going to be for myself, mm-hmm. for my family. You know, maybe a select few close friends. That's all. That's my little pot.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got. It's not unlimited. If it were unlimited, then, you know, maybe it would be a different story. But because it is limited, you have to make some really tough decisions about how you're going to spend your time and what you're going to spend your energy on. And I would hope that you're spending it on things that are important to you and that you do care about versus what everybody else thinks you should care about. Yeah.
Are they matching your priorities and your goals?
Yeah.
And I also know you focus in on relationships a lot. So what would you say you and your husband do to focus in on you guys and make sure that, because if husband and wife aren't right, everything else forget falls it. Apart.
It's falling apart. I think that, you know, we are really good friends too. Which I think is a benefit. My husband and I have been together since college.
Yeah.
We were teenagers when we met. We've known each other a really long time. So friendship is our foundation. And so I think one of the things that's helped us is that we have fun together. Mm. And it sounds super, like, simple. But, you know, you can't go through life with your partner with everything being so somber and so serious, and there's an issue you have to address and some paperwork needs to be completed. And you, that can't be, you know, the basis for your entire relationship. And so, like I mentioned, we make sure that we spend time apart from the kids to connect with each other and to have fun. And we talk about what our hopes are and what our dreams are and how we can support each other. And I think just you know, having those conversations, it's really important. Like, I want to be his biggest cheerleader and yeah. he's my biggest cheerleader. And that's how it should be. And, you know, again, marriage, there are waves. So there are sometimes when you're yeah. really good at it and sometimes where it's just like, okay, this year it fell by the wayside, clearly. Got to get back on track. It happens.
When you look over and you want to knock them in the nose while they're sleeping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. That can happen. Absolutely. But it's just really, I think, just making sure that you maintain that connection just as human beings, as friends, as lovers, and as partners, it's really, really important. And I, you know, I grew up with folks whose parents were married forever. And then when they graduated high school, everybody was getting divorced.
Yeah.
I mean, you see it all the time. Because by the time the kids are gone, it's like, oh, who are you?
Yeah.
I spent all my time, you know, with you who I don't even know who you are. I may or may not like who you are.
Or you have 2 decades of resentment
yep.
built up. Because when Mike and I have not had some fun downtime, even if it's a 5-minute quickie in the closet,
yep.
that all the little like, well, no, you said you were going to pick him up today, but I can't because I need to, all of that mm-hmm. little, well, can you watch him while I do this and do that? It becomes like very snippy. Like you can feel the
every little
the
thing.
Tension rise mm-hmm. if we haven't had And it doesn't have to be like a fabulous, you know, full
week-long retreat. Yeah, it doesn't need to be that. No. And it's not realistic. That's not always going to be possible even. Like, I feel like people do focus on that. Like, oh, we're going to some, you know, romantic getaway. Or, yeah. You know, you build things up in a particular way. It doesn't even need to be that.
Like, when I notice that happening, like, if maybe he'll say something to me and I want to knock him in the back of the head, I will instead go and, like, hug him from the behind, or he likes me to rub his back. And it's like you could just feel the, okay.
Yep.
Now let's go on with this. Okay, now what are you going to do?
Because at the end of the day, it's like you're on the same team.
Yeah.
There's just so many things coming at you as a family. You know, you're just trying to manage and balance as best you can. But at the end of the day, you're on the same team. And if you can just kind of, like, through everything, if you could just keep it in mind, it's like, I'm not working against you. Yes. I'm working with you.
Yes.
I'm your partner. I got your back. You got mine. It's like, if you can just always kind of keep that at the forefront, I feel like for us, that's been really effective. Yeah.
Yeah. That's super important. Because when you get resentful, it's like, why am I taking this out on you? We're a team here. I should be turning to you for the relief of the resentment.
And to be honest, so if there are things in the relationship, you know, that aren't working well, you know, I work with a lot of couples and different individuals who feel like, well, if I make a face, they should know I don't like it.
No.
Or if I get quiet, they should know not to do that.
Oh my gosh.
No one is a mind reader. And I don't care if they've known you for 40 years. Nobody is a mind reader. You cannot assume that any other person on this earth knows what you're thinking at any given moment. They don't. So if you don't feel comfortable or secure enough, or you don't feel that you can be vulnerable enough to say, like, that hurt my feelings, or what you said bothered me, or, you know, we said we weren't going to do this and you did it.
Yeah.
That's upsetting.
Yeah. I had to learn the hard way to... that my husband is not a mind reader. And men more so, like, they are fairly simple and straightforward. My husband, most of all, he needs a straightforward answer. Mm-hmm. If he just sees that I'm moping around the house and mad, or, you know, he's just going to avoid me like the plague, which makes me even angrier because I'm like, he knows I'm mad. But in his head, he's like... I don't know.
Just what leave me
I
be.
Yeah, yeah, just leave me
I
alone.
I have no idea what she's mad.
I know she's mad, but I'm not confronting this at all. And nothing would get solved. But yeah, I had to learn because he had been married before.
Yeah.
So he had already learned that lesson. I had not.
Yeah, you have to speak up and say what you want. Like, I feel like I've always been maybe a little more vocal about, like, if I don't like something, mm-hmm. I'm pretty, maybe that's the Leo in me, I don't know. I feel like I'm pretty straightforward. Sometimes with my husband, though, he would assume that I would know, and I'm like, I don't even know what happened. I missed it completely. Yeah. I don't even know what you're talking about. So it took us a while, again, to get our rhythm with that. But I think, you know, we've kind of both come to a happy medium where we're able to be intuitive with one another, but also clearly communicate what it is that we're thinking or feeling or what our concerns are. And, you know, it's not, you know, not a big deal.
Yeah.
Just get it out there.
Yeah. Well, that takes time.
Yeah.
As your kids get older and mm-hmm. you learn that communication skill, like, now I feel like we're good. Like, we can mm-hmm. do the quick, okay, so you're going to get them and I'll get them mm-hmm. tomorrow. And then Friday I got to be here.
Yep.
So are we, okay, we're good. All right.
Yep.
Whereas before that was like I don't want to have this conversation.
I'm dropping off and picking up. Oh.
I also, like, know, okay, he's going to be gone for 2 weeks. When he gets back, he's tired. I'm tired. What can we do to make sure neither one of us are, like, pissed at each other because we're both so tired?
Yep.
And we haven't spent time together for all that time.
Yep. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Age. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Growing together, being married for 10 plus years, mm-hmm. reaching your 40s.
Yes.
All of that.
I'm almost there. I'm almost there.
Oh, there's a whole group of us hitting it this year.
Yep.
Or next year.
Yep. Yep. I'll be next year. We're getting close.
Lord, the things that happen over a lifetime.
Oh, yes.
Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me.
Thank you for having me. This is so fun.
I get... my excuse to have girl chats.
Right.
That's all it is, really. Super fun. No, honey, I'm working. No,
right. We need these chats. These chats are important. So I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you again for joining me for this conversation on the Mom Forum, and I hope that you were able to relate to some part of this story. Please join us over on social media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at the Mom Forum, or come give us a visit on our site, themom-forum.com, to read our new blog posts, shop our products, or check out our next event. Thank you, and we will see you the next time on the Mom Forum.